Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dine on Life Talk Radio Show. I'm Jasmine Adams.
And I am Felicia Nicole.
And today's topic is all about business etiquette. In fact, we have so much information to cover that we're exploring this topic throughout next week. Whether you're working for yourself, whether you're working in a Fortune 500 company or working your way up the corporate ladder, no matter what type of business you're in, business etiquette is a must.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Absolutely. I'm sure you're all familiar or at least heard of businessinsider.com. And if not, it is a great website that has information on how to go after the promotion that you desire or even information on how to run your own business. And, of course, there's an article on this particular website, and it's written by Vivian Jane, titled 15 Business Etiquette Rules Every Professional Needs to Know.
Oh, you all know that I am the proud owner of Cover Me Chocolate by Jazz, so I'm definitely interested to hear these etiquette rules.
As you should, and every other person, no matter if you're self-employed or if you work for a company, I think this would be beneficial for us all. So let's check it out. All right, so the first one is to always say your full name, as well as always pay attention to how other people would like to be introduced. The author even notes that if your name is too long or too difficult to pronounce, then you should actually consider changing it or shortening it.
I don't know if I'm willing to shorten my name or change it, only because I think that makes you you. But, of course, that's all dependent on you. This is somebody else's opinion, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's something you have to do. Thank God my name is Jasmine Adams. So it's not too difficult to introduce me. When being introduced, though, I know I personally like to be introduced as Jazz because it is the name on the business. And is that that's actually the way I answer my phone. Like, this is Jazz. How can I help you?
Right. I think that what you said, actually, you took the words out of my mouth. People's names are unique, you know. So I think for that particular tip, I'm going to disagree with the author. I think your name is unique. I think even if you have what society considers to be a long name, embrace it and introduce yourself with confidence, and you teach people how to pronounce your name because, after all, it is your name. That's what I think.
Yes.
So, secondly, when you're being introduced to someone, stand up. By standing, you're helping to establish your presence. And I think that's common sense, actually.
I would think it's common sense as well. I agree. I can't say anything wrong to it or any objections at all. If I see someone sitting down and, you know, we haven't been introduced, I'll probably, you know, just, hey, I'm Jazz, how are you, and keep on going. But, you know, you could miss a possible business opportunity, a possible connection. So always make your presence known. Stand and acknowledge them as well as making your presence known. I agree.
Absolutely. So the third tip is you should only say the word once or twice at the max during a conversation. Saying those humbling words more than that can give off an impression that you're somewhat helpless and needy. Fourth, send separate thank you notes to everyone who's involved, and those notes should be sent within 24 hours.
I agree again with the sending of the note. The easiest thing I have to say about that and the easiest thing I think would help people is to kind of have somewhat of a generic version already written out. And that way you can always personalize it. So, you know, thank you for whatever the meeting was on such and such date. I really appreciated your whatever. And, of course, you know, sign your information, your business name, contact information, email, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree there. Definitely try to do it. I'm not mad at anybody who can't do it because I know I don't always do it.
It is polite, though. It's polite, and I think that's a great way for someone to remember you. That's actually a good impression to show politeness. And, yeah, impressions is everything, too.
Yes, so, and actually my business, I luckily just kind of send a treat. So that's my thank you.
And the treats are delicious. No matter how many calories it has. Those are the calories I'm willing to indulge in. Absolutely. So the fifth tip is never pull out someone's chair for them. And here's a good quote that follows that tip. And I begin, quote, in a business setting, you should leave those social gender rules behind. Next, do not cross your legs. In fact, for ladies, it is considered to be too sexy in a professional setting. I don't know.
I mean,
so what are you supposed to do? Sit with your legs wide open?
I guess just keep them sitting there together. Stand up. I don't know. I guess, you know what? Depending on what you're wearing, that's the only way I would tweak that. Because a lot of times, younger women will wear business attire that kind of double as your club attire. So it's a little too short. If you know it's too short, don't cross your legs in. That's all. Other than that, I don't see anything wrong with crossing your legs. I do it all the time.
Yes. I think, like you said, if you're a business or your quote-unquote business attire, you can pass going to the club in. That's not really business attire, first and foremost. You're not selling
right.
whatever you're trying to sell. You're selling sex, honey, and that will get you a short-term place in your business. But if you're looking for longevity, don't wear that. And to go along with that, I don't see anything wrong with crossing your legs either. I actually prefer, especially in the business setting, to kind of sit a little with a slant and have my legs
mm-hmm.
crossed, or even just cross your ankles.
Yes, that would be nice. So I guess for the ladies who are still wearing the shorter than short dresses and skirts, cross your ankles. Don't cross your legs.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next tip is keep your fingers together when you point. The reason why is it is considered to be aggressive when you point with your index finger. Yeah, I can see that. I'm pointing my finger now. I can see that. Put that pen down. Okay, so the eighth tip is always your hands. And I begin, quote, break your roll in half, tear it off one piece at a time, and butter the piece as you are ready to eat it. Personally, I don't eat bread at dinner or lunch meetings. Too much carbs to be eating that in front of my colleagues. And number two, don't take me to Olive Garden because I'm knocking back that whole basket of breadsticks, and that's not really cute in a professional setting. So I'm just going to leave the bread alone altogether.
I agree it's too much carbs. I think that every male should be considerate. Not necessarily that all women are that way, but I think you should be considerate of the women, business women that you're taking or any other business woman, unless, like, if it's Felicia and I'll take her to Olive Garden. I don't care what you look like when you're eating them. Have them all. I'm not going to eat them. But don't take her somewhere where there's bread. Especially, I mean, I don't too much like the bread, but if it's good enough, I'm going to eat it. And I don't actually always use my hands. I'm the weird one who will cut it. With the knife, I'm not using my hands. Because what if then someone else comes up and introduces themselves and I need to shake their hand?
Right.
In a naked situation, I need to be able to do it quickly.
right. I mean, can you imagine? Put this visual in your mind just for a quick second. Someone sitting at the table using their hands to break open a piece of bread with their bare hands. It's not even a good visual.
Yeah, I'm not too interested in that. Please, again, these are not our ideas. However, tweak it to see, you know, what works best for you. Personally, I'm not using my hands. I don't care. I just don't care. No, I'm not using my hands.
At all. And if you do break your bread open, don't open my car door for me. I don't need that grease on my car door. Okay, so we're rolling down the list here to our next business etiquette tip. Do not push away or stack your dishes. And I like the quote that follows that tip. And I begin, quote, "You are not the waiter. Let the waiter staff do their job." And you know what? I completely agree with that. If I wanted to clean up dishes, if I wanted to put the dishes away, guess what? I would have eaten at home.
I like the tip. I need to learn from the tip because I'm that person that sits there and I do it with everybody I'm at the table with. Like, I'm putting their stuff up nice and neat to make it easier for the waiter, because it's like, I don't want you at my table too long. We don't need to converse about anything. So all of the silverware are nicely and neatly stacked inside of this plate that I've put on top of this plate. I put the napkins over here. It makes it easier for you to clean up while I'm talking. But it is something I need to learn as well, like just them clean up, because that's not my job. I get to do it enough at home, so...
Right, like if you do all that, you might as well keep your tip.
Right, I should. And I tip well. Shoot.
And you know what? We live in a society today where your opinion will get stumped on. Get stumped on like the hyenas did in The Lion King. So excuse me for saying, oh, if you clean up your own dishes, don't leave a tip. No, so that's why that's their job, I think. You need to earn this tip. I'm just not giving away free money. I can't get money for free. I got to work hard. So, I mean, whatever industry you're in, you know, like at the restaurant, I'm going to let you do your job. I came here to eat, to be served, and I will be served, and you will be tipped. All righty, so our next business etiquette tip is never ask for a to-go box. After all, you are there for business, not to really score your next meal. But I'm sorry. You know what? If my scallops were just delicious, my business partners will have to understand that I am taking those scallops home with me. That is not even up for a debate.
Okay. Now, if we had scallops, they wouldn't still be on my plate. If they do that well, you know, one, two. So, I honestly don't see anything wrong with it. However, like, I'm that person who will sit there and drink tea, and, you know, I won't eat. Like, when I've had business meetings and, you know, we've gone out to eat, yeah, I've sat there and I've drank tea. And I'm like, you know, are you sure you don't want anything to eat? No, I'm sure, because I might want a to-go container. And if I paid for this full meal and they offer me the opportunity to take it home, I don't see why I can't. However, I understand the reason why, which is why I'm that weird person who will just sit there and drink tea.
Is it so necessary to not take home a to-go container? I'll just order a salad. No one takes a salad home.
Safe. Salads are safe. Always go with the safe route. I'm not taking a salad home. I mean, if it was that good, I would have eaten it there anyway. So, salads are great, and they're safe.
Right. Okay. So, the next tip is very interesting, and here it is. Keep the food options balanced with your guests, and here's the supporting quote for that tip. If your guest orders an appetizer or a dessert, you should follow suit.
So I'm still the weird person that's who's gonna. I'm gonna sit there and drink my tea. sometimes I might switch it up and ask them to put ice in it, but typically I'm sitting here drinking tea. I guess the most I will do is salad. However, I just feel like you need to understand maybe my dietary restrictions may be. What if I had already, which, you know, you probably shouldn't, but I'm not coming there with a huge appetite because I don't want to be the person who looks sloppy eating. I'm not touching my bread. I'm sorry. I'm just not touching my bread. So, I'm good with my tea. I might switch it up and throw some ice in it. That's about all I'm doing. You got to understand, I'm not eating in front of you. Nope. It's me about to eat in front of my own husband. I'm not eating in front of you. No.
You know what? You brought up dietary restrictions, and that's our next tip, actually, moving right along. So if the host follows a certain dietary restriction, consider the restaurant you're going to before you order. Now, I personally understand that because I'm a pescatarian, and for those who don't know what a pescatarian is, it's almost like a vegetarian. Vegetarians do not eat meat. Pescatarians do not eat red meat or any type of other meat like chicken or turkey, but we do eat solely fish and other veggies and, like, a lot of tofu. So in that case, I would hate for my business partners or my colleagues to have me meet them at a steakhouse. Like, I'm just going to wonder, why am I here? It's not a place for me. A steakhouse caters to steak lovers. If you like to eat cow, that's your business. You can find a place that's mutual, you know.
Yes, that is actually a very good tip. I've worked with, like, when we would have meetings every now and again, and people would come in to pitch to us, and they would always ask, of course, after they've already chosen the restaurant, are there any dietary restrictions? I think that should be the first thing that you ask before you choose a location.
Mm-hmm.
However, say you are bringing the food to pitch your whatever it is, it is necessary for you to know because we had a complete vegan. I mean, she didn't eat any animal byproducts as well. And so everything that he would get would have to cater to that. Well, you can't go to this Greek restaurant and order too much of almost anything for her. Why did you choose a Greek restaurant and then ask what were the dietary restrictions?
Right.
Because at that point, she doesn't know if they just picked the meat out after the fact, in which case she's not going to eat it. And it's very uncomfortable for those people who do have those restrictions. That is a very great tip. So when you're choosing a restaurant or when you're pitching a proposal and you're bringing in food, ask about dietary restrictions first.
Absolutely. Please do, because if not, you may actually lose that deal or your boss may look at you weird and, yeah, it would just be all bad from there. So, etiquette tip number 13, know where to properly place plates and silverware. Food is placed to the left of the dinner plate and drinks are placed to the right of the dinner plate. The fork goes to the left, and your knife and your spoon goes to the right. Yeah, okay. I will completely fail at this miserably.
I don't always remember it. I do know where to get my drink. Again, I'm the person who sits there and drinks the tea.
Jasmine some tea. Send her some tea. Someone. Green tea.
Green
tea. Starbucks has a long list of tea.
Yes. I'm a fan of the tea. Every now and again, I might switch it up and throw ice in it. So that's it. I don't even care about the placement. Well, I know my spoon is actually on my right, so I do know what the spoon is in case I need to add sugar. So that's it.
All right, so we're almost done here. We're at the 14th tip, which is the host should always pay. But if a male guest insists on paying despite a female host's best efforts, then allow that man to pay.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go back here. I can't remember which tip it was, but regarding the crossing the legs or whatever and throwing all the gender-specific stuff out the window, we need to go back there. One, I don't care who it is, if it's a male or a female. If you offer to pay, I'm going to let you, okay? I'm going to let you pay because that's less money that I have to spend. less money that I have to keep track of. Fine, let you do that. Although it would be a write-off, just throwing it out there. But, you know, less money I would have to keep track of. I don't know if it really matters, though, or if it should matter if a male guest insists on paying, despite the female host's best effort. I wonder if it is different if, say, it's a male host and a female guest insists on paying. Is he as well supposed to allow her to pay?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Like I said, either way, if you want to go ahead and pay, you can pay. That's less money I have to keep track of.
Right. I just think we should leave the gender roles out of it. And whoever is setting up this meeting, then that's who needs to pay. That's it. That's all. Now, I will volunteer to leave a tip on that person. And, of course, if I set up the meeting, I'll pay. But overall, I don't think gender roles should be a part of this. So I'll disagree with the 14th tip. I think that's just common sense as well. I understand not everyone has common sense, but it is common sense. The host should pay. How can you invite someone out, cover the bill? That's not good business etiquette. So
no.
So, you know what? I take that back. I said I disagree with the 14th tip. I do not disagree. I completely agree because the host should always pay. But I disagree with the part of the gender role.
Right. So, yeah, I think it should be kind of flipped. Regardless, if the male insists and the female host, and it's the female host, let them pay. But it should also be the same, I guess, the other way around.
Right.
Honestly, I think the host should pay regardless. Stop insisting I'm the host. I already got it in my mind on how I'm going to keep track of this money. Leave me the heck alone, and let me do this as my write-off. You leave me alone.
Right. Okay, so here we are at the last business etiquette tip. Prepare for a polite exit. So leave when you're talking because at that point you are in control and it makes for a smoother exit. In fact, have exit lines prepared in case you need to leave a conversation.
Always have exit lines. Seriously, sit down, practice them. Stand up, practice them. In fact, stand up while you're practicing them. That way, when it is time to go, it is not so difficult because those people will pull, depending on who you're talking to, but people will pull you into a conversation that has absolutely nothing to do with what you're talking about, and you always want to leave them with that impression of your business, not what your kid did, not, you know, what happened outside, not what's going on in politics. Leave them with the impression of your business, so make sure you practice those lines and know them. That way the last thing they think of is the last thing you spoke about. And, of course, always make it about your business.
Yes. Yes. Very well said.
So, Dino Life listeners, is that time again? It's time to pay some.
Yes, indeed. So, Dino Life listeners, if your Land or Range Rover or Jaguar vehicles are giving you problems, don't rid of your luxury vehicle. Instead, contact Elite Auto Parts to get you back rolling again.
Elite Auto Parts is an auto dismantler for foreign cars, specializing in used Jaguar and used Land Rover and Range Rover parts. They offer financing, and they also ship across America. Go to EliteAutoParts.com and place your orders today.
And if you're in the Southern California region, you can call them directly at 818-767-0445, and you tell them Dino Life sent you.
Yes, now today's positive tea segment is simple and sweet, just like me, and it can also be found on iHeartInspiration.com. So, Dine on Life listeners, I am simply reiterating seven lovely logics to keep your life simple and sweet.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, number one, make peace with your past so it doesn't spoil your present. Your past is your past. You don't live there any longer. Number two, what others think about you is none of your business. So stop talking or taking so much time focusing on what others think about you and focus on living your life to its fullest potential. Third, time heals almost everything. Give the time some time.
Mm-hmm, good one.
Absolutely. So fourth, do not compare your life with others. Again, Do not compare your life with others. I mean, you do not have any idea what their journey is all about. So please, please stop comparing. It's oftentimes apples and oranges. And, you know, the one for sure thing that you need to have clarity about is your own journey and your own purpose. If not, you could end up hindering yourself in the long run. Okay, so moving along, the fifth inspirational logic. No one is a reason for your happiness except yourself. This is pretty much self-explanatory. You and you alone dictate your happiness. The sixth logic, stop thinking too much. It's actually all right to not know all of the answers.
Mm-hmm. And if you must know the answer, just Google it.
Right. Okay, and lastly, smile. You do not own all of the problems of the world.
Those seven logics, oh my gosh, it's so simple and almost common sense. So I'm going to give those a pass who this is brand new, so I'm going to give you a pass. You may be busy with your day-to-day life, but literally I think the most important logic to take from that is stop comparing your life to someone else's. You were born in this world alone. You're going to die alone, so on you. Not saying you have to live your life 100% selfishly, but, I mean, you can't compare to someone else because you don't know what happens behind closed doors. You don't know their journey. So those seven logics, I mean, shoot, that's the key to life if you ask me.
Yes, I definitely agree. And honestly, I really like the last one, smile. You do not own all the problems of the world. Stop crying, stop moaning, stop complaining. It is absolutely unnecessary. Everything going on in the world does not belong to you. That also means that be aware that luckily everything and every problem of the world does not belong to you. Count your blessings.
Absolutely. So I actually want to bring some attention to this particular website called Emily Post, specifically emilypost.com/business/seminars. Their mission statement is, when individuals build successful relationships, organizations benefit. According to Emily Post, business etiquette training directly impacts the bottom line because decision makers, colleagues, bosses, clients, and prospects will choose to do business with people in whom they have confidence. The Emily Post Business Etiquette Seminars teaches participants the following things: the manners that people expect them to know, the skills to figure out how to interact with others successfully when there is no manner, the confidence to handle any situation from the day-to-day to the crucial, and how to use every interaction as an opportunity to enhance relationships. So their seminar is highly putting an emphasis on the end results of their participants to learn how to build stronger and successful relationships.
I love that. I actually came across that about a few days ago when I was on my way back home. I'm back in town, and I absolutely love it. I wish that all business people paid attention to that. It is very important to pay attention to that you build in business, and you need to be aware of every aspect, everything that you're doing, how you're handling the situations with clients, deadlines, which, you know, Felicia, that's very personal to me. It is very important to meet those deadlines. Whatever you say you're going to do, do it. I definitely recommend EmilyPost.com. It's an amazing site. Every business owner, potential business owner, anyone interested in becoming an entrepreneur, if you own a five, check her out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Dining on Life listeners, today we serve the dish on how to maintain etiquette in a professional setting and interaction, and we serve the tea. The tea brewed on seven logics to keep your life simple and sweet.
Absolutely, and if you get the opportunity, be sure to actually attend. You can, for the more information on how to attend the Emily Post Seminar, go to the website, emilypost.com/business/seminars. Click on the contact. Learn more about the information and the 15 business etiquette tips that we discussed today. Go to our site, dineonlife.org. Also, check out blogtalkradio.com/dineonlife as you can serve what we did today. Don't forget to follow us, Facebook, for daily motivation, positive updates on facebook.com/dineonlife. Don't forget to read updates and our opinions on our website, dineonlife.org, where we serve the dish on real life experiences and share our opinions on news updates. It's been great talking to you all.
Thanks for dining with us, and we'll dine with you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.